Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 113 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And this is a big subject today, money. We are talking about money. The very first thing that I wrote for Kick-Ass Witch for my website when I was putting that together over 3 years ago now was my bio page, because I wanted to get very clear on what I was offering. And I still really love that page. It still really resonates with what I am offering or trying to offer and the way I want to be of service. And so I thought I would read a little paragraph from that today to let you know what I'm all about and trying to make happen, trying to inspire another people and myself. Everything I talk about is for you and myself. I figure if I just speak to my own needs, that the people that resonate with that will show up, so we all get to learn this stuff together. So this is what I said. I believe in taking a holistic approach to kicking ass. Every area of your life must kick ass. For example, it doesn't do much good if you finally conquered your money fears and built the financial empire of your dreams if, when your best friend calls to invite you to vacation on a tropical island, you cop out because the truth is you don't want to be seen in a bikini. Or on the flip side of that, you've got the smoking hot ass and self-esteem to rock even the teeniest of thongs, but when your friend calls to make that invite, you can't afford the trip. That's why I talk about health and money, relationships and career, self-esteem and spirituality. It's all related. And when you up your game in one area of life, you positively influence the others. Yay! I can't believe I wrote that. 3+ years later, I totally agree with myself. I really wanted to teach people the money piece. And back in those early days of Kick-Ass Witch, I had a little survey down at the bottom of my website asking people what they wanted me to talk about. And far and away, the number one, number two, and number three thing on the list was money. People wanted to learn about money. I understood money in theory. Intellectually, I could grasp why it was important. I understood my own weird poverty mentality and the starving archetype, the starving artist archetype that I had held on to for so long. I understood this all, but I didn't feel ready to share that piece because I didn't feel like I had mastered it in my own life. It was something that I was still really working on when I launched my business. And it's something that I'm still working on and I'm sure will continue to work on for the rest of my life, because even though I've got a handle on my money now and I've learned how to run my own business online and pay my bills that way and have a job that really lights me up, like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited. I can't wait to do my job. I can't wait. I love it. I created something so special, but it took me a long time to step into the money piece of that and to really own it and feel my own value. But I know I have a long way to go financially. I have a lot of dental work, for example, I have to get done, and the estimated bill on that is $20,000. wow. And that's a little out of my reach right now. So, you know, that's the thing I'm going to work on, you know, next. I've mentioned it before. It's something I've been working on for a while. But I do think I will always, even if I had $1 billion, continue to work on the money piece because, like I was saying, I think this is reflected in all areas of your life. How you show up in one area of life is how you show up in the others. And so much of our shadow, I think, is built around the financial piece. Our money kind of lives in the shadow for so many of us. So I think it's kind of an accelerated path, actually. Anything can be a spiritual path. But when you get into money, shit gets real, for sure. An archetype that Robert Ojeda recently mentioned was the slave archetype. And when he said that, like, I was like, oh, ding, 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 ding. I don't know what else he said around that because all I heard was slave archetype, and my mind just went woo and just showed me like everything that the slave archetype means to me and how I had really been embodying that, giving away everything for free and not placing a high enough value on what I offer. If you want to go back through the archetypes for Hippie Witch for this podcast you're listening to right now, I did a show on the prostitute archetype over a year ago now, but that's really interesting too because supposedly we all have the prostitute archetype in our system, and obviously that has so much to do with how you value yourself and what energy exchange you're willing to make, and clearly that is about money for most of us. But before I get too deep into this, I've already rambled a bit here, and my intention really was to start by doing something really different here today before, you know, I put all of my own ideas in your head. I thought it'd be cool to do some speed journaling. So that's why, for those of you who follow me on Facebook, I asked you to, you know, or I suggested that you might want to bust out a journal for this episode. So if you missed that message, if you don't have a journal sitting right next to you, I will ramble a little bit longer so you have a second to grab a journal or just a piece of paper because it's just speed journaling. You're going to write down 5 numbers and 5 words. So you could do this on a post-it note and then take it to your journal later on. The thing I like about speed journaling is it's about bypassing the analytical intellectual process, which can really, that process, believe me, I know it well, I'm an air sign, I excel at overanalyzing things. So speed journaling is kind of like journal divination. It allows you to bypass that part of your brain and get straight to the real deal, what's really going on in your system. And the way it works is you just write down in the moment thing that pops into your head. Don't think about it at all. Don't give it any thought. Just write down the first word that comes to your head or the first phrase. If it's more than one word, that's perfectly fine as well. And then you can go back over your answers later. And, you know, when I said it's like journal divination, it's, you know, you pull your tarot cards, let's say, if you're a tarot reader, bing, 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 you got your 3 cards laid out in front of you, and maybe you sit with the images for a minute, and later then, you know, a second later, minutes later, a day later, you go back and you look at it, and you start, then you get to apply your analytical mind, then you get to say, well, how does this apply to my life? So at the end of this episode, after you've written down your 5 words, write down the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right? A line, like a little list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can go back later and then elaborate on that and get going in your journal and do some really awesome deep soul diving and shadow work. The little meme that I made for today's show is a quote that is attributed to Buddha. Who knows who said it, but I like it. And let's just say that Buddha said this. If you want to know the past, look at your present life. If you want to know the future, look at your present. So that's what we're doing right now. We're looking at what is inside of you right now and it will show you your past, what formed where you're, you know, what got you to where you are right now, and it'll also predict your future. There's that saying that I can't remember just off the top of my head, but the best way to predict the future is to look at the past, because we tend to just repeat our behaviors over and over and over again. So taking a moment to step into the moment and see what's really going on empowers you to make better choices and to change your future. Okay, so here we go. I've rambled long enough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Write them down on your piece of paper. I will try to talk slow. And let's do this. Number one, what is the first word that springs to mind when you think of your very first money memory? The very first thing you remember happening in your life around money. It can be when you were very, very, very young. What is the very first word that springs to mind when you remember that? Number two, what is the word that comes forward when you call up your last important financial moment? Your most recent impactful money experience. What is the first word that comes forward around that? Number three. Okay, this one actually requires that you get very still and take a couple of deep breaths. So let's just do that together now. I like to have people hold their breath at the top of an inhale. So let's see if we can do this together, and we'll just do like a brief little guided two breaths together. Here we go. Ready? Inhale in a deep belly breath. One big breath with your belly in, and hold it at the top, and release. One more, fill up your air with belly, one big inhale, filling up your belly with lots of air, hold it at the top, and release. Money. What feeling shows up in your belly when I say the word money? What feeling do you get in your belly when you hear the word money? If you don't get a feeling, just write down a feeling word anyway. Just write something down, the first word that comes to mind. Number four. Okay, remember, the first thing that comes to mind, we're moving fast. Do not analyze this. On your marks, get set, go. When you think about having to file taxes, how old do you become? What age do you step into when you have to face the tax man? How old do you feel on April 15th? And number five, if you never had to think about money ever again, if everything you could ever want or need was guaranteed to be provided for the rest of your life, for both you and your loved ones, how would you feel? Yay, you did it. I hope you did it. So save that, and you'll have some awesome journal prompts to explore later on. The reason that I keep talking about feeling, how do you feel, is because the shadow is largely to do with feelings, and money brings up really intense feelings for people. It activates the amygdala, the lizard part of your brain that is really tied up in survival. Your entire limbic system, it's involved in your emotions and your feelings of pleasure and pain related to survival. And I really believe that, the shadow is just a metaphor, really. I think our limbic system is the actual physical part of our body that stores these money memories, and money is so tied up in survival. It's sex. It's food. It's pleasure. It's prison. It's shame. It's joy. It's so many things, and it's different things to different people. Super interestingly to me, as a person who really did grow up with a poverty mentality and has had a lot of issues around money in my life, especially in my 20s and my early 30s, it was rough. But what's interesting is, as a person with that background, I've actually had the honor of working both as a coach now, especially on my BizWitch calls that I offer, and even before Kick-Ass Witch, as a consultant and a writer for very, very, very wealthy people, like wealthy, wealthy people. And I have learned two things. The super rich, they are very different from those of us who struggle with money in some ways, and they are exactly the same. And the difference is material. But money affords them a certain kind of freedom. Joe Rogan was recently talking about his computer. He was saying, you know, I don't really care about money that much anymore. It's bought me freedom, you know, and that's a freedom we all dream of. But he used his computer as an example. And he was saying, you know, my laptop could fall out the back of my truck and crash to pieces, and I'm not going to have a meltdown like most people would around that. My life isn't going to end. I'm just going to go to the Apple store and swipe my credit card and get another one, and it's not going to mean anything to me. I've got all my stuff backed up, and I can easily replace that computer. But for me, I lost my computer in December, and to replace it was like $1,200, I think, and I didn't know how I was going to do that. I actually didn't panic because I've done a lot of work around the money piece, and I was trusting that something was going to happen. I was worried, but I wasn't in like a complete, you know, meltdown state. And my sister stepped up, and her husband bought me, free and clear, no strings attached, don't pay us back, a brand new MacBook Air. And I totally cried. It was amazing. And that meant so much to me. But for someone like Joe Rogan, it's like nothing. $1,200 is like, ping, it means nothing. So in that way, the super rich, they're different from the rest of us. But they're the same. They're exactly the same when it comes to, you know, shame and issues around money. There's a lot of family struggles that these people often have to deal with. A pattern that I notice is tribal shame. Families with a lot of money sometimes get into a lot of codependent mind games where they're trying to control each other with money. A lot of children that are raised by wealthy parents, the wealthy parents, especially if the parents are first generation rich people, they'll try to spoil their kids and give them everything. And so those people really struggle in their early adult years to find a voice, to figure out how to make money. So they're not different from us in that way. And I say us, you might be super rich and listening to that right now, but I know a lot of my listeners, this is something that we all kind of struggle with, and it really goes deep for us, but it goes deep for everyone. Money does not give you a free pass. It doesn't allow you to opt out of, you know, the shadow work and things like that. My husband's family, actually, they're not, I wouldn't say they're the super rich, but they have a lot of money, a lot more than my family had. And my family expresses themselves with food and hugs. We're super boisterous and vocal and expressing our love. And his family was very reserved and didn't express love that way. Like, it really confused me. They felt cold to me. But then they would give us these generous gifts, like around Christmas and stuff, you know, and they always pay when we go anywhere, and they buy really nice, the fanciest foods, the nicest hotels, things like that. And it was so confusing to me, and I actually had a therapist explain to me that money is one of the five love languages, and that some people express love with money. And so that is I love you. I love you. I'm going to pay off your credit card debt. And that's like a ginormous hug from a person who expresses themselves that way. So that can cause a lot of confusion if you're speaking one love language and someone else is speaking another, especially when the money piece comes into play. And then you might also want to go back and think about the prostitute archetype with that. But what I really wanted to talk about today was reverse snobism in the spiritual community around money, because I think that as a collective, the New Age and pagan communities, we have some major tribal shame going on around the issue of money, even though many coaches and thought leaders, people at the, you know, the front of the line, the people we're all looking to in the New Age community, many of these people have, you know, risen to the fore to say, hey, this is fucked up. We are shaming each other into being poor. And that's not okay. You know, you'll see a lot of blog posts and videos around that and stuff. But it still goes on. And, you know, we expect our healers, for example, to just give everything they have away for free. We want it for free. We demand it for free. We expect it for free. And I say, that's not okay. That's not okay, because these people are offering service. They're offering a value, and it's up to them to place a dollar sign on that. And you can either choose to pay that to benefit from the service and the value that they're offering, or you can choose to go elsewhere. The choice is always yours, and there's no need to shame that person for claiming, hey, this is how much I value myself. If you value me at that level, we can work together. And I think some of this is a reaction to those, like, gross mega churches. You see these evangelists, like, just spending and wasting frivolous amounts of money, and it's just so gaudy and kind of disgusting to look at, you know, and it feels manipulative. It feels like a lie. It feels like being taken advantage of. It's hard to watch those, you know, simple, loving, God-fearing, earnest people in the audience, like, going, praise God, and then giving away 10% of their income to these people who just waste it and spend it on nonsense. But at the same time, I think as much as we can have codependent personality relationships going on, and a lot of people, again, in the New Age community have that issue that they're dealing with, I think that we can have, like, a mass codependency going on where we try to control, like, whole groups of people. We try to, like, control with shame, and we try to say, you know, what I was just talking about. It's not okay to charge money for whatever, Reiki or whatever somebody's offering. You should just be doing that for free. But really, it's not up to you how they spend their money. You don't get to decide. You don't get to apply your morals or your ethics to how someone else places a value on what they have to offer. If it doesn't speak to you, you can just move on. To sit there and try to control them or shame them into being the way you want, that's full-on flaming, codependent red flag right there. And an awesome invitation to do some shadow work around that issue. Why am I trying to control this person? What is this bringing up for me? You know, and reverse snobism, feeling, I think it gives people a feeling of empowerment to be like, fine, I can't play that money game. I can't win that money game. You have more money than me, but I am more spiritual than you because I have denied myself wealth. It's a choice. I've chosen to not be wealthy because I'm just that spiritual. I think that's an interesting thing to sit with. Are you just that spiritual? Is that a choice you made, or is that, like, just a default, a default choice? You know, you really had no choice, so you just pretend like that is a choice you made, and then you elevate your sense of self-esteem by making yourself right around that. I think this stuff is so fascinating. I can't believe I only have 6 more minutes. Good thing I'm talking about this for the rest of May, because I have a lot to say about it. In the law of attraction community, you'll often hear, you know, that you should not put down another person for having something that you want. In that way, you're using resentment against yourself. So if you see wealthy people and you automatically say, oh, they're a bad person because they have a lot of money or what an asshole or whatever you put on that, you're actually pushing away the very thing you want. You're not into alignment energetically with it, according to the law of attraction. Something you'll often hear people in that community say is to drive through a wealthy neighborhood. And instead of resenting and hating on the people that live in that beautiful neighborhood, you practice saying, yes, yes, this is for me. this is for me, and I'm next, and bless you. Bless you for having this wealth, and I'm blessing myself and blessing you, and it's this whole whatever. You have to start somewhere. So people will often start with the mind piece, going off, you know, the theory and magic, as above, so below. It starts within. What's happening within you starts being reflected outside of you, as within, so without. So changing your mindset in theory can actually change your physical reality. Where do I want to go with this now that I see I only have a few more minutes? I did a show once called about Gwyneth Paltrow, something about like the world's most hated celebrity. And I think a lot of that really came up with people when she started doing Goop, because I get that newsletter and she often recommends like outlandishly expensive things. And I think people are like, oh, great. Gwyneth, thanks for putting all this crap in our faces that does, yeah, it looks totally awesome. It looks super cool and rock star, but who can afford that, you know? And so I think that has brought up a lot of shadows for people, and it really outrages them. And there's a lot of interesting websites that are just devoted to hating on Gwyneth Paltrow. I went looking for this quote because in response to the hate she gets around that, she said, I am who I am. I can't pretend to be somebody who makes $25,000 a year. And that's on a variety of lists on the internet, like the top 25 pretentious things Gwyneth Paltrow has ever said, or the top 10 obnoxious statements to ever come out of Gwenny's mouth. And I don't feel that that is pretentious or obnoxious. I feel it's authentic. She was raised in a wealthy family, and she can only share what her experience is, and she's trying to share it with us, and we're all like, boo! We don't want to see that. But having a lot of money, it really depends on the family that you're raised in. Apparently, she was raised in a fairly healthy family with money. When you look at someone like MC Hammer, using another celebrity for an example, he made jillions of dollars during, you know, the Hammer Time era of pop culture, and he lost it all. He had to go bankrupt because he spent so much money and gave so much of it away. His system, his psyche, his shadow could not contain that kind of energy. And so he had to start all over again. 90 seconds? Really, Blog Talk? How did this happen? Okay, so how do I wrap this up? I'm going to continue on next week. For sure, I'm going to be talking about how money is a mirror. Which is mirror work is another aspect of shadow work. It's another tool very similar to deep soul diving and shadow work and all of that stuff. So I will get further into this subject. And then on Thursday this week, I'm actually doing a video about being outrageous. And so that's going to be really fun. Also, in June, I'm going to be teaching a course with my friend Ryan James Locke. You may have heard him here on Hippie Witch. I had him on a few episodes back and got a really great response from that, from you guys and from him. He was like, I loved doing that with you. Let's do something else. So we actually are going to be offering a program for people who have online businesses and want to take it to the next level. And so I'm excited to share that with you guys later on, later this week. Maybe on Thursday I'll have something up to show you. But in the meantime, I'll tell you, what it's called. It's called Big Heart, Big Biz, 30 Days to Outrageous Prosperity. And I love that. Big Heart, Big Biz, heart-centered business. You know you love it. I love it. I'm excited. Okay, money, 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 money. Do take those journal prompts, work with them, build out on the words that you wrote, and see what comes up for you. And I would love to hear about it. Shoot me an email if you want to be private about this stuff. I totally understand. Or we can talk about it on Facebook, whatever. Until we meet again, much love to you. Have a beautiful day. Peace.